have some good news for you today. Healing is real, healing is now, and Jesus has not changed his mind about healing or about you. Stay tuned and find out more.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We've got a great program for you today. We're talking about healing and the power of God to heal you, praise God. So wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, maybe you have a loved one that needs healing, whatever it is, we've got great answers for you today through the Word of God, praise God. So stay tuned. This is going to be a great program. Amen?
Amen. Well, this show is called Abundant Life for a reason, because God wants us to walk in the abundant life in every area of our life. And healing is one of those areas that we are dealing with specifically today and throughout this series. So make sure you catch all of the episodes. We began by teaching on healing being God's will, but I want to jump right into the scriptures here today in John 10:10. Do you have that scripture for us, Ashley?
So John 10:10 says, it says, the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and to destroy. And then Jesus is talking about himself. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Now, to me, this speaks volumes, because for many years, we grew up thinking that God put sickness on people to teach them something, that somehow God, through his infinite wisdom, would discipline his children through sickness, which kind of doesn't even really make sense. If God is the best father that there could ever be, he is the good father, right? I mean, comparing God to just a human father, would you put sickness or disease on your children to teach them something? Of course not, right? I mean, if we started to discipline our children by putting a cancer on them, or likewise, if we had the power to heal, to bring wholeness, to bring healing to a child that was sick, and we withheld it, we withheld medication, or we withheld something from them that would resolve their situation, that would be cruel, wouldn't it?
That'd be called abuse.
We'd be called child abusers.
Right.
Well, that, in a sense, is exactly what sometimes we accuse God of without maybe verbalizing it that way. But we're accusing God of child abuse when we say he's putting sickness and disease on people to teach them something. We started looking at this last time. We're going to continue this now. But John 10:10 makes it really clear. It is the thief, the enemy, the devil, Satan, who comes to kill, to steal, and destroy.
Right.
But Jesus comes to give us life, and life more abundantly.
It's pretty easy, really. It's consistent all the way through the Word of God, New Testament, Old Testament. It's consistent that God is good and he does good, and the devil is bad and he only does bad. And really, we need religion, or some churches, unfortunately, to help us misunderstand this. But really, if we just took the Bible for what it was, that's what we would discover. We'd discover that God is a good God. His very nature is good, and he only does good. And the devil's a bad devil, and all he does is bad. And John 10:10 explains it very simply. There's hundreds of other verses that explain it as well, that God is good and the devil's bad, as simple as that. Now, already we've talked about teaching. Real quickly, you know, people say, well, actually, God chastises those children he loves and things like that. Understand that. He teaches us through the Word of God. He teaches us through the Holy Spirit. He has lots of ways of teaching us and even correcting us when we need it. But it's never with sickness. It's never with something bad. And, you know, can God use them things? Of course. So if something bad happens to us, God is so awesome. He's so amazing. He can use a bad situation and actually teach us with it. But he didn't cause that bad situation to happen.
Great.
So it's like, you know, I remember once one of our boys was walking up on a ledge, and I said, don't walk on that ledge, you might fall off. And they wouldn't listen to me. They were disobedient. Mm-hmm. They fell off the wall. It was like a little brick wall, you know, a foot high or 2 feet high. They were little toddlers at the time. And they scraped their leg. And I went over and I comforted them, and they were in pain and their leg hurt. And I said, look, I said, this is what happened. I told you, don't do that. That's why you've hurt your leg.
There's a natural consequence.
Now, I didn't come and push him off the wall, or I didn't come and scrape his leg to cause him pain. He experienced pain because he's been disobedient to me. He wasn't listening to my advice.
Right.
So he caused the pain himself, if you like. But I chose to teach him through that.
Yep.
So God can even use bad situations to teach us. So I know some people say, well, this happened and God taught me through it. Yes, but that doesn't mean God caused that bad situation to happen. That doesn't mean that God put that bad situation on you. It just means God's so good that even what the devil meant for bad, God's able to turn around for good and use it for good. But the bottom line is this: God is good and he does good. It's his very nature. And the devil's bad, he does bad. That is it, simple. That type of simple doctrine is really going to help us as we go deeper in this. And don't get confused about that. Some people teach different things. You can't establish anything else. If you really take the word of God for what it is, you can't establish anything else, that God is good and he's a good God.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at some biblical examples, because ultimately it's the truth of God's word that sets us free. Amen. Not our past experience or our infinite wisdom, right? But it is the truth of God's word that sets us free.
Amen. I've got here Luke 6:17. Do you want to read that? This is Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and it says, and Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and
just
Sidon.
Just say it with confidence, people will never
Tyre and Sidon, yeah, Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him, and he healed all of their diseases.
Yeah.
Healed all of their diseases. All of their diseases.
All of them.
Verse 18, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed also. So he healed diseases, he healed people who had bad spirits. And then verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for the power went out of him, and he healed them all. And if you study that word, all out, A-L-L, I know my English accent here in America, some people say, yeah, maybe we need to translate for our southern viewers.
That's my American version.
All. So Jesus healed them all. If you look at that word, A-L-L, all means all. He healed every person that came to him. We established this last program, but Jesus was the perfect representation of God. And every person that came to Jesus, Jesus healed. He didn't withhold healing from anyone, and he certainly didn't put sickness on anyone. And Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right. So we can just look at Jesus' life in the four Gospels and see that God heals people.
Yep.
He doesn't withhold healing from people.
And this is really interesting. There's so much in this short passage of Scripture here, but it says they came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Mm-hmm. In other words, they came with expectation, which is important, but they came to hear what the Gospel was really saying, what Jesus was really saying. And so many of us, we've come from a culture that has taught us mistruths about the Word of God, man's interpretation that isn't based on Scripture. And, you know, we've touched on a few of these, the difference between God being good or God putting sickness on people, the difference between God having provided freely healing for all or somehow attaching some conditions to it. And this clears this up really nicely, because it says everybody that came was healed of their diseases. It didn't matter what the origin was. It didn't matter whether it was a physical disease in their body because of what they'd been doing or how they'd been living, whether it was the cause of it was an evil spirit. Everybody that came to Jesus was healed. He didn't sit down and look at their church attendance record, right? He didn't see whether they'd been reading their Bible that day. He didn't see whether they'd been fasting and praying. He didn't ask questions about their lifestyle.
Not even their giving record.
Not even their giving record.
Didn't even ask that.
It was unconditional. And you know, salvation and healing came together in the same package called Jesus, right? Yeah. It's Jesus who's our healer. It's Jesus who's our savior. We cannot separate healing and salvation. But oftentimes people will receive salvation, but yet they struggle to receive healing because they try to separate the two as two separate experiences. Well, here it says that everybody that came was healed. You know, I thought about this the other day. In churches sometimes, you know, we have altar calls where we call people down the front to respond to receive salvation.
Right.
Now, we don't say, well, you know, just come on down the front and we'll just see if God's in a good mood, if he's feeling kind, if he's feeling generous. Maybe we could just hope that he's going to save you.
So it doesn't even matter if whatever denomination you're in church, you would know that if someone came down, responded to an altar call for salvation, this person was not saved, they hadn't given their life to God, hadn't given their life to Jesus, they came down the front to be born again, and the preacher was up there and they said, well, come down the front to be born again and we'll pray and we'll see if God wants to save you today.
It's up to his will.
It's up to God. Maybe he will save you, maybe he won't save you.
Maybe you've been good enough, maybe you could earn salvation.
Or maybe
we don't say that, do
God's
we?
Just going to choose who he's going to save. Now, we're sure that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're sure that whoever gives their life to Jesus, we're sure whoever asks for it is going to receive salvation. Whoever gives their life to God is going to receive salvation. We know that. Yet we've never seen anyone, we've never seen a physical salvation.
We don't see salvation. We receive salvation by faith.
It's a faith thing.
Right.
But we'd be sure. In fact, it would be heresy if we heard a preacher say, God might save you, might not. We'd be like, no, God will save anyone who calls the name of the Lord.
Because he's good.
Regardless of your background, regardless of where you're from. That's right. So why aren't we like that with healing?
Well, I think when it comes to healing, sometimes we go by what we see. Mm. We go by what we feel. We don't feel very healed. We don't feel very worthy to be healed. Mm. We feel like sometimes the sickness is our fault because maybe some sort of lifestyle choices that we've made, that we're not worthy to receive it, that we've caused it, that we've brought it on ourselves. Mm. Or we have some misconceptions that maybe God is trying to teach us. He's putting that sickness on us to teach you something. Well, God doesn't put sin on you to try and teach you something. So why would he put sickness on you to try and teach you something? Good. You know, when Jesus died and rose again, he settled once and forever the issue of sin. So that if the root of sickness and disease ultimately came from living in a fallen world, ultimately came from the enemy, and the root of that has been satisfied, then surely the fruit of that can be satisfied too.
Amen.
Right? So healing, when Jesus was ministering to people here, he was ministering healing to people, and it wasn't based on their performance. They didn't have to earn it.
Right.
It was a completely free gift, and it was available to everyone.
Amen. That's good.
That is good news.
I'm thinking back in the Old Testament when they used to bring a lamb as a sacrifice to the priest. You know, the priest used to take that lamb and used to look at the lamb, inspect the lamb, make sure the lamb didn't have any imperfections, make sure the lamb didn't have anything wrong with it.
It had to be a spotless, unblemished lamb.
The priest never looked at the person bringing the lamb. He never inspected the people bringing the lamb. He just looked at their sacrifice. And now Jesus, that was a picture of Jesus. Now Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. So God looks at Jesus, and in Jesus, we're perfect. In Jesus, everything's been dealt with. As Carly said, on the cross, Jesus dealt with everything. He dealt with sin, sickness, poverty, everything. He took it all on himself, and we get his health, healing, prosperity, peace, salvation, everything we need. It's the almost too good to be true news. In fact, that word gospel, when they first started using it, meant almost too good to be true news, or how can this be true news?
Right.
And that's the gospel, praise God. It's been dealt with. Healing has been paid for. Healing's been dealt with, and it's always God's will to heal.
Amen. Let's look at this. This is actually healing is demonstrated in the Great Commission. So this was the final charge before Jesus left, right? Mm. So he's given his Great Commission to his disciples and saying, they've been following him around for 3 years now, seeing him going around, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. And he said to them, you know, I've given you power and authority. This is my charge that I give to you. Go do what you've seen me doing. So I like how he says here, this is in Mark 16, verse 15. He says, he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel. There's that word gospel, the nearly too good to be true news, to every creature, to everything that's going to listen, basically, right? He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe, right? In my name, in Jesus' name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, signs and wonders were always God's plan. In fact, healing's not even a new idea. It's all through the Old Testament. But Jesus, I mean, this just reinforces it right here. He's been demonstrating signs and wonders for the past 3 years, and his final charge to his disciples here is to, you go do what you've been seeing me doing.
Right?
It's part of the Great Commission. If it was important enough to be some of the last things that Jesus told his disciples, then surely it was important, right? It's written in red, which means it's got to be important, right?
That's right. Yeah, the red part, I tell people, the red part of the Bible are definitely important. The whole Bible is inspired word of God, but the red parts are, they're like extra important. That's where utility companies get it from. If you see a utility bill in red, it's extra important.
Gets your attention.
One translation puts it this way in Mark, the verse you just read in Mark 16, verse 18, it says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will heal them. Jesus commissioned us to heal the sick.
He didn't actually tell them to go pray for the sick. He told them to go heal the sick.
Right. He's given us the power and authority to heal the sick.
Absolutely. Amen. It really is. And healing's not like a newfangled thing.
Right.
It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, what Jesus was doing when he was walking on the earth is just as good today as it's ever been. There
Amen.
Is no expiration date on the Word of God.
And even the human body, you know, the human body itself, it's designed to heal itself. If you have something wrong with you, your body will heal itself. And that's in the fallen state. Mm-hmm. So that's after the fall, after the world's been corrupt and it's gone wrong. But your body is designed to heal itself. So even your body can heal itself. And it's always been God's will to heal. It's always been God's will for us to live in health and to receive healing.
Right. If we really didn't believe that it was healing was God's will, then why would we go to the doctors?
Right, why would you take medicine to make us well?
We should embrace sickness. If we really believe that sickness and disease God is trying to teach us something, then we should, if we're really committed to that doctrine, it makes absolutely no sense to go to the doctors, to take medication, to seek help in any way. We should embrace it if that's our methodology.
It's like it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And if we don't understand what's from God and what's from the devil, if we don't understand God's will for us, then how are we going to be able to submit to God and how are we going to know what to resist?
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand what to submit to. We submit to the goodness of God. We submit to his healing. We submit to his goodness and the good plans he has for us. And then we resist the devil. We resist the bad. We resist the bad things.
But in Luke 5:12, this is another example. This is the cleansing of the leper. It says, when he was in a certain city, a man full of leprosy, not slightly leprous, not just a little bit, full of it. He was like bad case leprous, right? And he says, upon seeing Jesus, fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, in some translations it says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now look at Jesus' response, right? He reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him.
So the leper was asking Jesus here, is it your will for me to be healed, basically? We could put it this way. Is it your will for me to be healed? Is it your will for you to heal me? And Jesus cleared it up right here, and he said, I am willing. And there's other cases with this as well where Jesus said this. This is a great example. I am willing. Be cleansed. It's God's will. It was always Jesus' will to heal, and it's God's will to heal.
Amen. You know, for many years, I dealt with a condition called epilepsy, and I used to have multiple seizures a day. I was taking 11 to 13 different medications a day. I had to have a babysitter just for me because I could not be left alone to take care of our three children. I couldn't drive. I couldn't work. I couldn't even really take care of myself. Mm-hmm. It was a debilitating condition. My whole life had been taught that I'd been taught that receiving healing was completely up to God. He is able because he was all-powerful and also all-controlling. That was what I would, my understanding of the scriptures. You know, God is sovereign, but sometimes we take that word sovereign to mean all-controlling. Mm. And that's not what that meant. You know, that was translated into the King James translation, but that means all-powerful. It does not mean all-controlling. In this series, we're going to be covering the authority and how God has transferred power over sickness and disease to us as New Testament believers. But in my understanding, because I felt like it was up to God whether somebody was sick or somebody was well, I couldn't pray a prayer of faith because I didn't know the will of God.
Right.
And so even though I love God, I followed God, I served God with the assistant pastors of a church, I was still responding to sickness the same way anybody that was unsaved would respond to sickness and disease. Go to the doctors, take my medication, do what I need to just make it through, right? Didn't understand that God had better for me, that I didn't understand that John 10:10 principle that says it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I didn't understand that epilepsy was from the enemy. And so I was just living with it. But it's Jesus that comes to give us life and life more abundantly. You know, many of us would just be happy to settle for life, never mind abundant life, right? We're just trying to make it through. But I went to a Bible study one day, and God spoke to me in that Bible study, and he showed me in Deuteronomy where he says, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. Mm. And I knew on the inside of me that he was talking about epilepsy, that was part of my life that I had just learned to manage. I just learned to live with it, to control it. I didn't know that there was any other options. But as he spoke that to me, I had a revelation. God was showing me a picture of a switch, like a light switch. And he says, when you're ready, in 2 weeks' time, you can flip the switch and turn epilepsy off. I'm giving you power over epilepsy. So I did what anybody would do in my position, and I just decided not to tell anybody, thinking they're going to think I'm crazy, right? This wasn't part of, we hadn't seen any healing. In fact, in our church, we had sickness services. We really didn't believe in healing. And here it was, God on the inside of me telling me that he had something better for me, that he wanted me to be made well. And so I went home, and over the next couple of weeks, God just downloaded to me how he felt about me. He showed me all the way through the Gospels how Jesus has healing ministry. And by the end of that 2 weeks, I was utterly convinced that it was God's will for me to be made well. Mm. But I still laid out my fleece, kind of like Gideon, right? I said, if it be thy will, Lord, just because that's what we did, you know, in our culture. And I said, if this really is, I'm not crazy, this really is you speaking to me, when I go back to that Bible study, my friend's going to offer to pray for me. And so I went back to that Bible study and nothing happened. And like all the way through the Bible study. And by the end of it, I went to leave and my friend said, just as we were going out the door, I feel like I should pray for you. So she prayed this micro prayer, not like one of our normal long religious prayers. Right. But she laid her hands on me. She said, be healed in Jesus' name. Just as simple as that, be healed in Jesus' name. And I just knew on the inside of me, I flipped the switch of epilepsy and I turned it off. And I went home and I said to Ashley, you know, I've been healed of epilepsy this day. And nothing had changed on the outside of me, right? I mean, I didn't look healed, did I?
Nothing changed.
But, you know, we had to take it by faith and walk that out. But I never had another seizure, and that was 14 years ago. Now, that was awesome. That when we praise God for that. But because I didn't really understand that it wasn't just God's will for me to be healed in that moment, it was always God's will for me to be made well. When we had other sicknesses and other diseases crop up in our family and our children, we weren't equipped to be able to deal with those because we really hadn't settled the problem of, is it always God's will?
Right.
Well, I love this scripture here with the leper because Jesus proves the point when he says, yes, I am willing, I am always willing, amen. Right. God's will for you is unequivocally yes when it comes to healing. His promises are yes and amen.
Amen. Now you touched on something, Cardi, that I know it's a sacred cow that God doesn't control everything. And we may get into this a little bit later, but I just want to clear this up real quickly. You know, the word sovereign, like Cardi said, we often in religious circles, we've misused that word and we take that word sovereign, like God controls everything. And I remember believing this. I remember I used to pray and say, well, God's in control. And even when bad things happened, well, God's in control. He knows what he's doing and he's going to teach you and all this type of stuff. And God's in control. The word sovereign means all powerful. And God is all powerful, almighty. There's none beside God. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is everything. So the word sovereign, if used in that context, is correct. He is all powerful. He is 100% power. Mm-hmm. No problem. But he's not all controlling. In fact, it makes him more powerful for me, I think, the fact that he's handed over authority in certain areas to mankind. He handed over the authority of the earth to man. He's given us free will. We have free will. That means he doesn't control people like robots because he's given us free will.
We have free will to choose salvation, to choose life, to choose relationship with him.
So God's will doesn't automatically come about on earth. And this may upset people. They say, no, God's still 100% powerful. He's still sovereign. But God's will, let me give you an example about salvation. I've got two verses here real quickly. This is 2 Peter 3:9. So 2 Peter 3:9 puts it this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Ready for this? Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So this verse here, this is 2 Peter 3 verse 9, clearly says God's will is for every single person to come to repentance and that none should perish. And then another verse here that backs this up as well in the New Testament, this is 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 puts it this way. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's twice in the New Testament that God's saying he desires every single person to be saved. What about this? This is Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Three verses, New Testament, God's will is for every single person to come to salvation. Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody come to salvation?
No.
No, it's their choice.
We know that there's a hell. It's a real place.
We choose now to live with Jesus and we live with Jesus for eternity, or we choose now to reject Jesus and we'll live in a place without Jesus. We choose heaven or hell. It's our choice. We get to choose eternal life. 100% our choice. And we know that not everybody, unfortunately, is going to go to heaven because they're choosing. They're not choosing Jesus. They're choosing to reject Jesus. So therefore, God's will is for everyone to be saved, yet not everyone is saved. And it's the same with healing. It's God's will for every single person to be healed, and yet we don't see everybody healed.
Right.
There is other factors involved. So I want to establish this today. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. He's almighty. I'm not taking anything away from him. But he is not all-controlling. He doesn't control every person's action. In fact, if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. If he controls every action, if he controls everything, then why pray? Mm-hmm. Why believe for anything? Mm-hmm. If we get sick, like Carly said, why go to the doctor and try and get better? Let's just stay sick. It must be God's will. If we're meant to be poor, let's just not earn any money and be poor. That's God's will. God doesn't control every detail in our life. It's a little bit like a someone who owns an apartment building. They may own an apartment building of 100 apartments, and they own that whole building. Mm-hmm. They've got the whole rights over that building. But they don't control what goes on in every single apartment.
They're not telling you what to cook for dinner.
They don't tell you what to cook for dinner, exactly. It's their choice. Mm-hmm. And God may own the whole earth. He owns everything in it. He's all powerful. But he doesn't control people's wills. People have free will. I think it actually makes him more powerful, the fact that he's given free will right. over to man. So they have free will and they get to choose. So mm-hmm. I want to tell you this today. It's God's will to heal every time. As Kai said, Jesus said, I am willing. It's God's will to heal. But there's other factors involved. And it's God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. And that's why we don't always see everybody healed, even though it's God's will to see people healed. Later on in this series, we're going to be talking about how you can see your healing manifest, how you can see your healing physically manifest, because there is certain things we can do to make it manifest. But right here at the beginning, you need to know it's God's will for you to be well. It's God's will for your loved ones to be well. It's God's will for you to be healed and not have a disease or anything against you, praise Amen. God. God is good.
Amen.
Isn't God good?
And understanding that is the starting point for faith. And it's by faith that we access all of the promises of God that God has provided to us through His grace. Healing is a free gift, the same way that salvation is. We can't earn it, we can't deserve it, but we can receive it by faith. Amen. And faith can only operate where the will of God is known. So establishing that God is good, that He's only good, and that He is for you. He has provided healing for you, regardless of where you come from, regardless of how long you've been sick, or regardless of what the doctor says, healing is for you, and it's always for you, every time.
Amen. It's Amen. Awesome. Praise God. We want to pray for you before we let you go, because we hear people getting healed all the time through these programs. If you're believing for a healing yourself, or maybe you're believing for a loved one, receive this right now. Yeah. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone watching and listening to our voice today. I thank you, Lord, it's your will for them to be healed and to be whole. I thank you, Lord, you've provided the price for their healing, just like you provided the price for our salvation. And I thank you, Lord, we're receiving your healing power right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed us.
Amen.
We receive it today in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Receive that in Jesus' name. Well, thanks for being with us today. We'll be back real soon. But remember, until next time, don't just settle for living a normal life when God paid for you to live the abundant life.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, or call us at 719-600-3344.
Hey, today we've been teaching about healing and the truth about how God wants you well. You know, in these programs, we're only able to get to a little bit of the details. We would really encourage you, get this series. The details are on your screen. You can phone the number, you can go to our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. But there's so much more to unpack, and we would love to share more details about these truths. So go to the website, look at the details on your screen, order this series, because it's going to really help you receive God's best for you.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, or call us at 719-600-3344. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Where you see the word saved through the New Testament, it means more than just our ticket to heaven.
Right.
Amen. And I think there are a lot of streaking Christians out there.
Streaking Christians. You're going to have to explain that one, Carly.
In other words, you've put on the helmet of salvation, but you haven't put on all of the armor of God that He has provided for us. He's given us all kinds of things at our disposal, all kinds of benefits. We don't just have our ticket to heaven, our helmet of salvation, when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, we receive healing, we receive safety and favor and prosperity and forgiveness and deliverance. All of these things, protection, all of these things are part of the salvation package that Jesus paid for us. Mm. Healing is one of those original benefit package deals, right? Mm-hmm. Healing came at the point of salvation. Now, it's in our spirit, man, okay? One third of us is Holy Spirit. That's the God part of us that becomes alive when we get born again.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.